Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Wake up to love, your call to action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you. We're here with the stories of hope, and we're going to have incredible conversations today with change makers in the world. I can't wait to introduce you to my first guest. And so I like this so much. Her best moments are spent enjoying time with her loving husband and two children. And she plans to continue to boldly live in pursuit of her passions wherever they may take her. Jessica Amaro, author of the Don't Become Your Bullshit series, a conversational book series created to help you unpack the dysfunctional behavior, unhealthy habits and beliefs, and negative self-talk. Jessica had a never-ending love affair with making a difference, has a never-ending love affair with making a difference. Her desire to be an agent of change began as a child taking care of her younger special needs sister and evolved into a passion for creating award-winning community events in her native Charleston, South Carolina, and elsewhere. She's been recognized by countless outlets for creating social events and advocating for the exceptional community. As the founder for the exceptional, she's been serving the special needs population for over a decade. Jessica earned her BA from Voorhees College and her MA from Webster University. She attributes a great deal of her success to her real-world experience as a nonprofit founder, serial entrepreneur, behavioral interventionist, and as the training director for a national behavioral care company. Welcome to the show, Jessica Amaro.
Thank you for having me. Oh, that was a mouthful, wasn't it?
That was. I was like, wow. When I was reading your bio and getting ready for you today, I said, wow, this is one powerhouse woman. And we know when we're powerhouse women, we have come from a powerhouse past.
Yes, definitely, definitely, definitely. I can attest to that powerhouse past. And on paper, it sounds like a lot, but when you're going through the journey, it doesn't. And then when you sit back to reflect and you write out where you've been and what you've done, it's amazing to be able to actually chart your growth through the things that you've been able to accomplish. It's been a ride.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've accomplished quite a bit and you're pretty clear on what your favorite things to do are, which I think is so important. And that's why I wanted to start out with that. That's your favorite thing to do, you know, being with your family, doing what it is that you're doing, and then you're giving back into the world with the journey from where you came from to what you're doing now and how you're helping people. So what is it that you want to inspire the audience with today? The message, the passion, the vision, what would you like to share with us today that's going to really ignite some change?
I think for me, and I thought I watched some of your other episodes and I just had to think about what is it that in this 15-minute window, what is it that I want to impress upon others? And it's about finding your peace. And I know that's something that we hear is very cliche, but it's peace in your home, peace in your work, and carrying that everywhere you go. And a lot of times we don't even know where to start. And it literally starts with assessing, getting your needs met. Are you satisfied in your job? Are you satisfied in your home life? Are you communicating with your spouse? Are you communicating with your children? So really what I want this conversation to be is it's about the pursuit of peace. We talk about the pursuit of happiness, but I don't even think you can get to happy if you're not in a peaceful place first. It's like peace is the cake and happiness is the icing on top. because I'm not happy every day, but I'm at peace every day. And that's one of those things that are very important for me. And when I began writing the Don't Become Your Bullshit series, the first workbook is actually a cognitive behavioral therapy workbook based on CBT. And I worked as an interventionist and I train therapists now. And I wanted to figure out a way to make it more conversational. We all know that therapy is a luxury. And in sitting in that 10 by 10 room is just not for everyone. I'm definitely an advocate for therapy, but you know what? The work starts at home. The work starts in your quiet time. And I wanted to be someone that has a voice during that quiet time. So we can address that dysfunction, unhealthy thoughts, and negative self-talk. So really what you can interject anytime you want, but I really want to, the message for me is really about finding your peace and maintaining it.
I think that's so powerful because it's so true. You dropped some really good, important questions for the audience. Are you happy with your life right now? How are you feeling? Communicating with are you happy with your relationships? Are you happy with your children? Are you happy with your husband? You know, really looking at that's where it starts at home and to start asking those questions. And right now with so much change that's happening on the planet, I feel like those questions, you know, everybody's going through so much change and we're going through the change to come to the place of what you're talking about. And that is the place of peace. And like you said, I'm not happy every day, but you know when you're not, and you know how to ride that wave. This is a wave right now. I'm not happy at this moment because there may be whatever it is, but you also know that you're going to be able to come back to that happy place because that is also a wave. Would you agree with that?
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I think we have to understand that there's a difference between peace and happiness. And my thing is, on any given day, I need to know where I can find my peace. One of the things I had a conversation with someone recently, and we both have children, and I talked about you know, how I smile when my kids say I'm ready to go home. And she said, well, why does it make you smile? I said, I work with kids so long in the community, kids in foster care, kids in turbulent homes, that when I would do services, because I'm one of the things I did is an RBHS, which is about taking kids out into the community and meeting them where they are, is that they didn't want to go home because it was so turbulent. So when I hear my own kids say, when we're somewhere out in the community or we're doing something, I'm ready to go home, it's a good sign that, you know what, that they find peace at home.
That's so good.
It is. I guess those little things that we have to pay attention to, but it's also about like one of those things, my three pillars are education, articulation, implementation. So educate yourself on whatever it is. So if you want to find peace, start reading about peace. You want to know how other people are doing it, look at their methodology. I mean, everyone's story is a testimonial to how we can live. Take what you need and leave the rest. So,
you know what's really interesting? You didn't know this about me, but I wrote a book on peace.
I didn't know. I really did not know that.
You know, the title of the book is called Peace, the Flip Side to Anger.
Oh.
Okay, peace, the flip side to anger, because, you know, that's what it is. Peace is an inside job, right? And I couldn't understand why we in the world, as evolved humans that we are, why are we still causing war? And why are there many active, angry peace activists out there in the world? And that just didn't fit. So what you just said to do is exactly what inspired me to write my book and discover the peace within. And through this, I can attest to what you're saying, that my number one important thing is finding peace within, because peace is the highest vibration to be in when we're most relaxed and we're most open, where healing can happen, and we're feeling loved in peace.
We do. And I think for most of us, and I think for a very long time, even for me, I would get moments of peace and I just felt like I couldn't hold on to it. And then I realized it's not something to be held on to or strangled. I literally, you know, like you said earlier, ebbs and flows. So my thing is, I had to figure out, okay, and it's about paying attention and assessing where you are. Okay, when I'm here, I'm at peace. When I'm with this person, I'm at peace. Inside of my workbook, I have a relationship appraisal. And I think even me, the very first time I actually did this appraisal, I actually created it for an event. And then I wound up, you know, getting ready for the event. I had my husband do it. I did it. And I charted one of my relationships. And I remember just sitting there, tears streaming down my face, and all of the fact that one of the questions is, how do you guys deal with disagreements? Is it discussion, disruption, or disconnection. And I realized I'd been, you know, in this relationship for, you know, 15 some odd years. And when me and her, we would always go through this huge chaotic situation, then we would disconnect and then the discussion would follow. So at that moment, it's like either I value this relationship and I want to work on it. And now, even though we're in a good place right now, we need to go back and address how we're going to handle things in the future. And then sometimes I think we do this thing as, I don't know if it's it might be more of a woman's thing. I don't know. But we hang on to relationships and people that we don't even really like. Not that we don't love them and care about them, but sometimes we are so familiar, so comfortable with people, we're willing to discomfort ourselves and be around people we just really don't like.
Yeah.
And that right there is not a sign that you're moving in a peaceful direction.
No kidding. I mean, you know, that in itself right there is a whole discussion. What you just said about that, I mean, that's a whole nother topic for you to come back again and talk to us again about that. You know, it's like, because truthfully, I always say that everybody loves me. They just don't all realize it yet. They all love me, but they just don't realize it yet. Right. And so, but do I like the people that I'm around? Do I like the people? And I like myself, and I want to be around people that I like and that like me in my close inner circle. Not everybody has to like me. Not everybody has to agree with me, but everyone does love me. They just don't realize it yet because we are from love. We are made of love. Love is who we are. Right. So, I think this is a really good, another great question you've given the audience today to look at who you have in your life that you really, really like.
I know, and it's that simple. So my thing is, everything that I do, it's about, you know, replacing this stigmatic language and these words, this cognitive dissonance, and literally breaking it down to pieces that people could, that's palatable, so people can understand. It's as simple as literally, when you're trying to find your peace, what's important and what's not? That's it. That's the last question, I guess. What's important and what's not? Start there. That's where I was, and I think that's where I started. Most of us started by figuring out what's important and what's not.
And what I'm so proud of you for is that you're raising your kids. You're being a beautiful role model of, you know, how we communicate. You're teaching your kids at home, where it really all begins, and they love being at home. And, you know, right away I could tell that, yeah, this woman is something else. So I'm so glad you came on today. Let us tell the audience, first of all, how to look you up. You're on social media, and then let's send everybody to go check out your book, the series, so that they can start working at home.
Yeah. So Don't Become Your Bullshit is www.don'tbecomeyourbullshit or www.don'tbecomeyourbs. Both of them go to the same place. I'm on Amazon. The workbook is on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Walmart.com. So you can find me anywhere. This title is so catchy that if you just put it into your Google, it'll take you everywhere that I am. And definitely follow me on Instagram. I make it a point to not just be about pushing the book, but giving you guys information on healing and transformation, things that you can use.
Yeah. So what's upcoming for you this year? What are you focusing on this year for your vision?
So I am working on the fourth book in the series, which is the Don't Become Your Bullshit, A Week in Reset. Because sometimes as mothers and friends and career women, we only have a weekend to reset.
Yeah.
And then also just, I'm traveling with my family as the summer begins. My 15-year-old just got accepted to early college. So her summer is already planned. So trying to get some things in before that starts. And enjoying the ride. I'm really big on everyone's big on New Year's resolutions, and I've always been as well, even though they're kind of cliche. But my thing for this year is enjoying the ride. I think most of us have spent enough years stressing over what's working, what's not working. So I want to enjoy the ride this year.
I think that's the perfect place to ground that in, enjoying the ride moment to moment, finding what your inner peace is, making sure that that's your priority, having those beautiful conversations at home, and then knowing that when you're not happy in the moment, that next wave of happiness comes again. But at least start asking those fabulous questions. Right, Jessica?
Yes, this has been amazing. The energy is everything right now. So I appreciate you.
Oh my gosh. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Got the chills. Thank you, Jessica, for coming on. And thank you for doing that beautiful, good work that you're doing. And we will see you again.
We do.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jessica. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Let me take a quick breath before I welcome in my next guest. Hello, Dr. Narissa. Am I saying that right?
That's right.
Narissa Bauer, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you.
Thank you so much. What an honor.
Did you listen to the other guest that we just had on, Jessica?
Yeah, I caught the last part of it. So yes, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was just, yeah, very high energy. I'm excited to have you on. This is the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Stories of Hope. And we, you know, we have just a few short minutes with each guest that we bring on to inspire people, to fill people up with hope so that they can, you know, wherever they find themselves in their life, with all the changes and everything that's going on in the world, to know that there is a reason for it and that we can rise above whatever it is that we're faced with. So I want to pull up your bio now and introduce you to the audience. Dr. Narissa Bauer is a behavioral pediatrician and entrepreneur in Carmel, Indiana. She left academia in December of 2018 after burnout. She has a part-time behavioral health practice. She created Teach Me ADHD, an online course for families, is a host of the Let's Talk Kids Health live show on behavioral health and parenting, and CEO of Let's Talk Kids Health LLC. She's also a spokesperson for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Wow. So, you know, what we were talking about earlier was how important it is to have these communications at home that start at home with the kids. And obviously you can relate to that. What got you started in this field?
Oh my goodness. So I remember when I was a child, I actually wanted to be an elementary education teacher. So I have always loved working with children. I just knew though, when I got to college and I knew I was needing to pick a career path, I loved medicine. I loved psychology. And I loved kids. So pediatrics was the way to go. There was just no choice there. But what I love most about what I do is as a pediatrician, I get the honor of following and meeting families when their children are very young, you know, from birth all the way to young adulthood. Now, as a behavioral pediatrician, I have focused my patient load specifically to support families with kids who think and learn differently. And so I take care of kids with ADHD, anxiety, depression, and help families navigate some very common parenting challenges.
Yeah, I bet there's quite a few of them out there that...
Yes.
Right?
Yes. You know, for instance, ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, it's one of the most common behavioral disorders or neurobehavioral disorders that pediatricians are, you know, identifying. When the pandemic started, though, I will tell you that it has amplified the need for parents and pediatricians, as well as educators, everybody who's involved with helping support our children, be on the lookout to know when a child is struggling and to come together as a team to figure out how to help.
Yeah. That's so important. I bet with the pandemic that brought up a lot. And then just with, you know, our whole systems, the educational systems that were set up that are failing the children that haven't been set up correctly, right? And so then there's that. And I like how you said to pay attention and come together as a team, because it does take a team.
It takes a village, right?
Yeah. I mean, because when you think about it, you know, like the way that the systems were set up, the educational systems were set up, they weren't set up with those children in mind.
Right. They weren't. And you know, we know that so many kids think and learn differently, and it's nothing to be ashamed about. And I think, too, that when the pandemic started, parents were getting a front row to seeing how their children are thinking and learning. And the fact that many of them had to do remote learning, very different way of teaching anyway, but also the uncertainty that the pandemic has brought. You know, I mean, we're all feeling stress. We're all feeling anxiety. When is this going to end, right? And so kids pick up on those emotions yeah. of their caregivers and their adults. And it's scary. It was scary times. It's still ongoing and we're not sure kind of what the future holds. I'm glad kids mostly are back to school. I'm sure the families are too. But one of the things that we need to address, this has shown us, is that first of all, mental health and is just, we need to invest more in that. You know, there's not enough of people that are doing this work, but we cannot as a society be shy about talking about mental health and mental wellness and asking for help.
Yeah. So important. It's so important. I mean, it's like we have to really bring it out in the open because the children are the future. Yes. They are the future leaders. And really, we cannot keep creating the same things that we've been doing for, you know, millennia, just over and over and over again, because this is the legacy that we're leaving behind. And now it's time to really have these important conversations about what is it going to take? Mm-hmm. What is it going to take? And actually put the children first.
Yes. Yes, for sure. And I think that's one of the main things that I do every day when I meet with families in my clinic. You know, there's not a one size fits all approach to parenting. We all have our unique things that we have gifts, right? Mm-hmm. We all have our strengths and we all have things that we're working on. And I think if anything, the pandemic has taught us as a society to not be quiet, to talk about these things, to share it and talk about, have these conversations at home. You know, we can normalize so much for our kids by saying, you know what, I'm frustrated too, or I'm feeling a little bit worried. Let's talk about that. You know, what is that experience like for you? How can we help support each other? And by sort of showing your children that you are not perfect. You don't have to tell them everything, but you know, I mean, at least sharing and opening up about your own emotions, your own challenges, just to say, I feel that too.
Exactly. Because then you're giving permission, you're showing your vulnerability and you're modeling. And like you said it earlier, they feel the emotions anyway. And they feel this. And so by a lot of times they may be feeling it. They may be picking up on your emotions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so because we're all so open and vulnerable, especially children that are open and vulnerable. Right away, I want to introduce you. When you do your podcast, do you interview other guests as well? Like, do you bring guests on your podcast or?
I do. I started it last year because I'm an extrovert and I just like wanting to kind of connect and highlight guests and topics related to behavioral health and parenting so that we can just all talk together. That's my platform is called Let's Talk Kids Health.
Good. So. I want to introduce you to Dr. Robert Saul. He's a professor of pediatrics.
I know him. He was on my show. Yes. And we also read his book. I do a free parenting book club. And so we read his book. He is amazing. Amazing.
Isn't he awesome? So yeah, he's in my community and it's just wonderful to have him there. He's been circling around on different podcasts.
Yes.
And I just right away, you know, once you meet someone, it's like, oh, I want to connect these two. So if you wouldn't have met him already, you would have met him now.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
It is. And it's such a small world too. You know, I mean, I think when people are passionate about something and are unafraid to sort of just get it out there, I mean, things happen.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he's doing.
And that's what you're doing too. That's what we're doing by having these conversations and talking about it. And really everything begins, you know, with the children. This is the legacy that we're leaving behind. And it's really important to make things right now and start there, even though if it's uncomfortable and it's, we don't know how, but by having the conversations that we can begin.
Can I just give your listeners one quick tip about that? Because they might not know how to start that conversation. They might be like, oh, I need to protect them. I'm not sure we should even talk about this. And I would really tell the families and the adults listening, it's so important because, again, we just said kids can pick up on it. They sense that something is amiss. And we need to invite them to be able to share their thoughts and feelings. And so if your child comes home and is having a meltdown or shuts down or one of many things that they can do that you know something's not right, right? I would encourage families first to take a deep breath and be like, okay, this is a sign that my child is struggling. How can I help them verbalize to me what they need? So that immediately helps parents understand to not take it personally, have that mindset on to be curious and to help it, like invite the child in. Say, you know what? I noticed that you're having a really hard time. I'm here to talk about it. Or you can say things like, tell me more about what's going on, right? I mean, that's all you need to do to start the conversation. You don't have to have the answers. And in fact, one of my families just recently told me that her daughter said, Mom, I do not want you to tell me what to do. I just want you to listen. I mean, and the fact that she was able to verbalize that, I was like, that is amazing, right?
Yeah. And I just want to say that's what we all want.
Yes.
We really don't want people to tell us what to do because honestly, we know what to do. Yeah. We just want to be heard.
Yes.
We just want to be heard. And so the kids, they already know this. And so actually the kids are teaching the parents. And, you know, because, you know, even when you're opening up the door to be curious about, you know, having your child articulate to you what its needs are, this is the same thing that you're going to be doing to express it to your partner, your husband, or your wife. These are my needs, and this is what's important to me.
Yes, you're modeling lifelong communication skills that they will take with them through their adult life.
Yes. So I love the work that you're doing. And, you know, earlier when we had on Jessica, she was talking about when she's out with her kids and her kids are like, you know, I'm looking forward to going home. That goes to show you those kids are happy to go home because the nurturing and the love that they receive at home, it fills them. Mm-hmm. And that's where it all begins. It begins at home and it begins at listening and really being curious about, you know, what's going on. I mean, there's so many, I don't know what the suicide statistic is in today's time, but there's a lot of that. And it, you know, it really begins from early on where children begin to shut down. And it's our responsibility to make sure that we listen to them and that we make the world a better place.
That's right. And for sure. I mean, yes, suicide rates seem to have increased, especially in the pandemic, but it's just, again, amplified by the fact that the mental health system is strained, that there are a lot of people struggling, the need is there. But the key is always early identification, letting your child know that you're there and not being afraid to bring those concerns quickly to people on your team, like your child's pediatrician.
Yeah. So I think even everything that you said, when people are listening to this clip right here, to actually take a pen and a paper and write down some of the questions that you asked and actually start creating your care team and start putting together some of those questions and bring it into your family discussion. And would you like to share with us now where people can look you up and also find your podcast so that they can continue on learning and being educated by you?
Yes, I would be delighted. Thank you for that. So, as I said, my platform is called Let's Talk Kids Health. The blog is .org. So you'll find everything on there. I'm on social media. So Facebook and Instagram, I'm also Let's Talk Kids Health. My YouTube channel is just my name, Narissa Bauer. My weekly show is simulcast to YouTube as well as my Facebook. So you can find me there. It's always on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And then you'll find out that I have a free parenting book club with book club chats with the author. And then I also created Teach Me ADHD. It's my virtual course that kids with ADHD and their parents take together with other families so that these kids can understand, first of all, they're not different, they're not alone, they're not strange. It's common to have ADHD, and they learn alongside their parents. They become junior and senior detectives. They join the All Deeds Help Detective Agency. They submit evidence of family missions that I've created to really foster parent-child communication and learning how to work with their brains so that they can thrive.
Dr. Narissa Bauer, thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you for doing the work that you're doing. And I would like to ask the audience today to take these clips and share it with your community so that we can spread the word, because the resources are already here. It's just getting them into the community of the people that need them, right?
Yes. Thank you so much. Thanks for the work that you're doing too. I really appreciate it. I mean, we need this now, stories of hope, you know, to just inspire us to keep moving forward, especially as a society.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Norris.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Take care. We're going to bring on our next guest now. And wow, what a beautiful time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hello, Dr. Rohr. Rowena?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Right. Dr. Rowena Winkler, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So when I was looking at your information earlier and I said, I'm going to tell her that I'm a 3-5.
Okay. I'm a 4-6.
We'll tell you, audience. We'll tell you what 3-5 and 4-6 is all about. So Dr. Rowena Winkler is a cosmic catalyst coach and realignment strategist. She helps women find their voice and take intuitive action steps so that they can live authentically empowered lives. And we love that, because being empowered, living empowered lives, that time is now.
Absolutely.
Using modalities such as astrology, human design, tarot, writing, and performance, Dr. Winkler expertly helps her clients get unstuck and inspire their inner muse. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Cornelia. I'm very excited about this conversation.
I have heard so much about you. You know, you've got quite a reputation out there. Yesterday when the show was being promoted, I heard from different people, wow, you're going to have Rowena on. She's really something. Did you know that?
No, I didn't, but that's very exciting to hear. I receive all of that.
Yeah, so definitely people are, you know, you're making a difference. People are looking and learning from you. So what brought you here today? You want to share something with us here today in Stories of Hope that's really going to support and inspire the audience that's listening with the work that you do.
Yeah, sure. So I think the best way to share my message is through sharing a little bit about me and my story, because as you mentioned in reading my bio, it's helping women live authentically empowered lives. And the authentically part of it is so important, because for me, in my experience, I have a PhD in communication. I got my bachelor's, my master's, and my doctorate in less than 10 years. So very self-motivated, but it was driven by this need to people please and to hit all of these external achievements and milestones and, you know, just checking the boxes. Okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. But a number of different things led me to rethink this way of living, right? So the first piece of it was my father passed away from cancer in 2013. When I just got my PhD and was in my first position as a professor. And as I'm sure you and other folks that are listening and watching can attest, losing someone so close to you, especially for me at a young age, losing my dad, really was a game changer for me and made me think very deeply about, what am I doing here? What is my legacy? Why am I so stressed out? Why is my mental health taking a hit for this work that I'm doing? Why am I not feeling fulfilled in this career path as a professor that I thought was the career path for me, right?
Yeah.
I did all this work in school and invested time, energy, money into these degrees, and it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel authentic to me. And so I went on this journey. I left academia without a plan, which is very unlike me, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I, you know, did some inner work and some soul searching. And I found and realized that these experiences as a teacher, a mentor, a writer, a researcher can be used in a different way that's more authentically aligned to what I like to call your blueprint, right? So it's using these modalities I mentioned, astrology, looking at my astrological chart. Human design, as I mentioned, I'm a 4-6, so you know, that opportunist role model profile in human design. So building communities and finding ways to role model for others what I've learned through these challenges that I now see as the opportunities, the stories that have brought me here. And so the work that I do now that was led here by COVID-19 or the collective retreat, as I like to call it, because we all were in lockdown and we had to think very deeply again, what am I doing here? What am I doing with my time? We don't know what is going to happen. And also, in addition to that, the birth of my beautiful baby girl in 2020, right before the world shut down, almost 2 years ago, it was, I need to be the role model for her. And so I had been looking into entrepreneurship for several years, but as I'm sure you know, fear got in the way, imposter syndrome, hesitation, limiting beliefs. And I realized, no, I need to use these gifts and talents. I'm a multi-hyphenate. I have a lot to offer. I have my PhD in communication, so I'm also a marketing professional, a communication professional, and I infuse this into a coaching offering where whether it's helping my clients with their businesses, with marketing and social media and PR, or helping clients who are creatives that are trying to figure out how to integrate their creativity into things like parenthood, or just getting by in the day during this time that we're still a lot of uncertainty out there. And I also work with graduate students and professors who, like me, are not quite sure they want to stay in academia. I took all of those experiences and crafted and created, again, this authentically empowered offering. And I got to tell you, Cornelia, it's been transformative. It's been amazing to feel that I'm in alignment and doing what I'm meant to do per my human design and astrological chart by taking all these experiences. So the lesson, the story to inspire hope is there's not a linear one-way path to success or to fulfillment or to alignment, that there's going to be things all along the way that may sometimes be surprising, but it's in staying present and being open to those opportunities that can then open the door and, you know, signal to the universe that, hey, I'm here. I'm ready. Like, what you got?
You gave so many nuggets. You gave so many great things. And also, you know, talking about who am I? Why am I here? That's the place to begin.
Yeah.
That really, who am I? Why am I here? That's the place to begin and start asking those deeper questions. The fact that you were, you know, graduating and that you were, you know, heading down this one direction where you thought you were going to go, and then you completely shifted and went into another direction. I bet there's so many people out there right now in today's modern day that are faced with this type of change and this type of movement because, like you, people were thought they were meant to do this particular thing, but did it for all the wrong reasons because they didn't know yet who am I and why am I here, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that takes so much courage. It takes so much, you know, courage. I mean, it does take a lot of courage to be able to make that change. And would you feel like when your father passed away, that was the catalyst that got you started on that path?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it again, when my father was dying, essentially, I saw in his appointments when, you know, I went home. I'm originally from New Jersey and I was living at Maryland for graduate school. So I went home and would accompany him to his chemotherapy appointments, and I could see that he was really thinking about his life and mortality. And I remember the appointment where we found out that the chemo wasn't working and that the PET scan didn't look good and the cancer was spreading. He broke down and he said, but what about my family? You know, it's my mom, me and my sister. And that really, I think about that to this day. I think about the questions he was asking, and it's kind of like, no, it's not kind of, it's like Tuesdays with Maury, right? Any of this literature or these books or these movies about when you're faced with death, you ask these questions.
Yeah.
Right? What did I do? What I was, and you don't think about the awards or the degree, right? It's about the people you've surrounded yourself with, the impact, the legacy. Again, I mentioned my daughter is another catalyst. So it was the death of my father and the birth of my daughter, which I just think is just beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, the questions that your dad was asking are all the questions that we can all ask at any point in time in our life right now, because I always say that we don't have to die to go to heaven, that heaven is a consciousness that can be realized right here and now. The earth is already here. We have to die many different deaths every single day. Thousands of deaths by letting go and releasing and letting go of everything that we are not, so that we can live and be everything that we are, the magnificent, beautiful, amazing creator beings that we are.
Oh, that's beautiful, Cornelia. I love that. And part of my journey is as a recovering perfectionist, knowing that release, that shedding of that, or that death is not a failure. It's not a reflection that I didn't do something correctly, or that, you know, that I had failed in some way, or that it was a mistake, that I shouldn't have gone this path. No, it's all a part of the journey.
And I'm so glad, and I'm so proud for you and of you and your daughter, you know, that you are now living and modeling this new way, because you're able to support her with this new earth and this new way of what's being created in the coming days. You know, how is life going to be in 50 years from now? How is life going to be in 75 years from now? You know, what legacy are we leaving behind? And that's why the conversations we've had today on this show in particular, they're so important. And they all begin with the question, who am I and why am I here? And it starts within, you know, it begins within. So you've got, I use astrology too. So I love that you do astrology. I use astrology. I look at what the planets are doing, not because they have control over me, but just so that I can be empowered and say, oh, this is what this square is about.
Yes, absolutely. Right?
You know, and so there's the astrology. And then what about so you're doing the human design as well. And, you know, are you offering sessions like this for people as well?
Yeah, sure. So I have very personalized offerings. Essentially, I sit down with potential clients and do a 20-minute catalyst call, as I like to call it, as the cosmic catalyst coach. Let's talk through what you're going through, what are your challenges, where are you getting stuck, and based off of interests and what might make sense. You know, some clients really want to dive deep into tarot to find insights. Other clients, especially human design, I feel like that's kind of come up as a new trend. I don't know. It's just a lot of folks are interested in now.
Yeah.
So I use those modalities with my clients to help ask those same questions. Who am I? What am I doing here? What am I meant to do based on these blueprints that we have? In addition, if you're not interested in so much the coaching aspect, I do offer just astrology readings and human design readings and reports. So if you just want, you know, Rowena, here's my birth information. Tell me what I need to know. The end.
Yeah.
That's an offering that I have as well.
Yeah, that's really good. Let's tell the audience where they can find you on social media so that they can, you know, book you and follow you on social media as well.
Yeah, lovely. So my website is rowenawinkler.com, and all of my social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok.
Oh,
I said I'm a communication professional, so I'm on a lot of channels, is RB Winkler, PhD.
Easy, easy breezy. I love the tools that you're using, the modalities that you're using, because they are very intuitive. You know, astrology is intuitive, and also the tarot, it's all intuitive, and it really depends on the reader. And so again, the reader, having been through the things that you've been through, and the, just, you know, self-discovery and asking all the right questions, you're able to then support your clients in the way that you are, and also help raise your beautiful daughter. So Yeah, I'm so glad you came on today. We definitely want to have you back. Thank you so much for coming on today, Dr. Rowena Winkler. Thank you for your presence and also for your message. And we'll see you again.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Cornelia. Bye.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Wow, what a glorious day. I'm just feeling all this incredible energy. It's amazing. And so we have Stories of Hope, Cornelia Stephanie here with you. And we have our next guest that I'm going to introduce you to. So very interesting. As a former stressed out financial services executive of a Fortune 500 firm, Teresa Lodato specializes in teaching stressed out people pleasers how to trust themselves and offer guidance along their journey of becoming aware. Using cutting edge techniques and proven strategies based on neuroscience and psychology, her clients fully align with their inner knowing, optimizing mental, emotional, and physical well-being while achieving extraordinary results. Being able to break down the complexities of neuroscience and brain health into practical tools to elevate performance while integrating mind and body connection, her clients learn to create balanced and healthy relationships which promote effective communication and bridges to connection. Welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. I'm glad that you said yes. Now, I'm sure that with the clients that you're helping and with the people that can relate to being burned out and stressed out with the financial stories that a lot of people were born into,
yes,
right? And rewriting their story, reconfiguring the brain. And this is what you're helping people do, is create and write a new story. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's really about addressing the trauma that we've had throughout our lives. I mean, being human beings, we experience various forms of trauma. And a lot of it can happen, especially the ones that happen in those formative years between the first 5 to 8 years in our life. Those can really be deeply embedded, and they're the stories that we witness and that we hear that get kind of locked into our neural pathways. And so really addressing that trauma, usually when people experience a rock bottom experience, is usually they have that moment of awakening, but trauma really disconnects us from our spiritual self. And so in the work that I do, it's about finding and releasing that trauma, but addressing it on the mind, body, and soul connection, because all of those layers are really important and hold that trauma. So the work that I do, depending on where people are at on their journey of becoming aware, is really focusing, okay, if you're at the mental level, then I've got certain tools that are based on neuroscience and psychology. And then if you're at the body level, the physical level, you know, more psychology and some more tools that I've got. But then I can also, as a certified intuitive, I can also bring in different tools to use at the spiritual level. So it's really kind of a whole body approach that I use.
I love that. So what I hear you saying is that you're helping people live a life beyond trauma.
Yes.
That's the place where you're helping them, bridging them to. So, you know, they're in trauma based on their childhood experiences of what was happening, what they were seeing mom do, dad do, society do, teachers do. You know, what they were witnessing as an open, vulnerable vessel. Mm-hmm. And now in their life, they don't want to live that same story again, but there's still some healing that needs to happen, right?
Yeah. So, it's in part, I mean, trauma is such a big area of work to work in. And, you know, I'm not in the therapeutic session or the therapeutic arena, even though my graduate studies are in counseling psychology. It's more with the people that are not experiencing the results that they want. And they've done all the things. Maybe they do meditation, they do presence exercises, but things just aren't working. And so those are the people that come to me that are looking to really move further along their awakening journey. Or maybe they've had, you know, I'm a certified projective dream worker. So maybe they've had dreams and they just don't know what to do with them. So I can integrate that in. Or maybe they have intuitive hunches, but they just don't trust it. So, you know, the trauma really brings people to not learning to trust themselves, not knowing how, and causing that disconnect. And so those are the people that I really work with. Yeah.
So can you give us an example of the person that comes to mind immediately that had the story and that you've helped, and, you know, give us the example, because, you know, when we tell that story, people can relate.
Well, I can either share my personal story, I can share a client story. Which would you prefer?
Whichever one you want.
I'll share a client story because I talk so much about my personal story. So I have a client that I've worked with who is in sales, and she's a territory manager. She's struggled with making club, and which is, you know, a form of recognition in the sales arena. And one of her things when we started working, she's like, geez, I'm beating the bush. I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, she came to me for coaching, trying to figure out, okay, how can I get those better results? And through the work that we did together, she realized that she has a fear of success, a fear of really owning her power. And through the work that we did, you know, we uncovered some trauma that she experienced when she was younger. She had kind of low-level abuse, emotional and physical abuse when she was younger. And through that, she also has a narcissistic parent. So through that, those two forms of trauma, she had these really deeply held beliefs. And through that examination and really walking her through the process of addressing both the mind and the body, then she was open to, okay, what more is available? And so then I was able to work with her on the spiritual level, teaching her some tips about how to tap into her intuition, how to keep working with the energies that are coming up, because it wasn't on a mental and physical level. You know, she had done therapy, she had done all kind of the standard things. Well, now she's not only made club 2 years in a row, but she has also, she no longer goes out into the field and beats the bush. She literally is working 2 to 3 hours a week. Wow. And she's number one in the nation as far in her role. And it's because she gets up, she listens to her intuition. Which client needs me today? And she reaches out to that client and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that you called. I need this, this, and this. And she's able to say, I'll be right over and I'll take care of this. And so her client service is through the roof, which of course makes the clients want to do more business with her. And so here she is, number one in the nation right now, and looking to perhaps make club again this year.
Well, I think she's going to make club again. That's like super awesome. That's the intuitive energy that we all need to be in when we're listening to our intuition, that, you know, that everything is already there and that we're guided to. And she's asking the right question. What clients needs me today? Working only 3 hours a week. Wow. Right.
I know, right. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, and the amazing thing that, you know, that I speak with my clients about all the time is that when we have trauma, all those intuitive hunches are still coming to us, but they're going through a prism of fear. And so they're getting just a little misguided. And so I think that's why a lot of people don't trust their intuition, because it comes through that prism of fear. And then they go, oh, well, it didn't work out. It wasn't correct. No. The intuition is always correct. So let's address what's getting in the way, that's blocking it, diverting that energy so that you can have that clarity and wisdom.
I just want to say, do you have a course on that?
I do have a course. I'm in the process right now of launching my own app. And so it's going to be updated and available in my app. That'll probably be ready around April.
Congratulations on the app. That's fabulous. I know that's a lot of work, a lot of hard work to get that approved and get that going. So yeah, I just felt like, you know, having an intuitive course like that is, you know, wonderful. It's a wonderful support for people, especially since e-courses and e-learning is a $350 billion industry where people are learning at home and, you know, taking their time to go through, you know, these courses. So for those entrepreneurs out there, whatever you're saying to your clients, if I heard the other day, if you're saying it more than once, that's a course.
Exactly.
You know, that's a course.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, like I said, you know, so many people come at different points of their awareness journey. So, you know, I have courses that address if you're in kind of that mental plane and that's where you're starting your journey and you're just waking up to this idea of, gosh, there's got to be a better way. So, you know, I have courses that will address that. And then, you know, if you've done some of that work and you're ready to move on, there are other courses at the next level of the body that, you can work with. And then, of course, once you're there, then we work with the intuitive stuff. So, yeah, coaching, obviously I do, and along with this coursework. So
that's really
exciting stuff. I love being able to meet the needs of my clients.
Yeah, it's so great. I want to be able to invite you later in the future. We're going to be doing an online summit, Dreaming Yourself Awake. And I think we're going to have you come in and be a participant, inviting you in to be part of that summit. It's, I think we're going to go with it at the end of this, at the end of spring. So that's, we're gearing up for it now. So, but I was just listening to you and I thought, yes, some of the work that you're talking about, we certainly would love to have you as part of that. Where can the audience find you, find your work, learn more about your courses?
Absolutely. And thank you so much. I would love to come and join the summit. The best place to find me is on my website, teresalodato.com. It has all the places where you can reach me. On the contact page, I'm actually an expert on the OWL app. It's a new app. It's just, I think we're getting ready to launch it to the Apple Store here shortly. It's not my app. I'm just an expert on it. But on my contact page, it has the instructions for downloading that. It's the best way to reach me because you can, you know, contact me when during my office hours and actually speak to me directly on the phone. And I can offer you either coaching or, you know, talk to you about some different things that I offer. But mainly it's the best way to reach me. You can also email me on that page as well, and I'll respond. I'm also on the socials, but, you know, with my client load, it's better just to grab me during office hours or shoot me an email.
Yes. What is the email?
The email is Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A, at teresalodato.com.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, when people are in the car listening to this, it's just when we say it, it'll click and they'll remember maybe to go back to it and listen to it there. So it was so wonderful to have you on. I know we're going to see each other again. It's great that you're out there helping people become successful in rewriting their neuroprogramming and releasing the stories and the traumas of the past. That's wonderful. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening and tuning in today to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm about to go over to Transformation Talk Radio. I'm going to do another show over there with Stories of Hope as well. And those of you that are in, we also have an app, and we have the KS Media, M-E-D-I-A group app, where we feature the world's best leading practitioners and entrepreneurs to support you to live your best life. Go download that app from the App Store or the Play Store. That's why I personally can attest to, I know how much work it takes to get an app up and running. So that takes a lot of work. But congratulations to everyone. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Cornelia.
Bye-bye.